Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for October 29th, 2007, episode 48. Welcome back, folks, to the Angry Admins Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
Welcome back to this very special one-year anniversary episode.
Woo!
We have been doing this for a year. So this is episode 48, which means we've missed two or three in there.
Yeah.
But overall, a very good track record.
I think so. For, you know, two guys who have a job.
And are not being paid.
Yeah. You know, not bad.
That's not too bad.
I don't hear any Audible ads on this podcast.
That's right. You'll never have any AdSense or any kind of junk
That's
on
right.
the side.
That's right.
Until we configure it. All right, this week we are basking in the glow, in the warm glow of the Leopard release.
Yes.
So for you Windows users, I don't know what to tell you. Go buy a Mac. You'll love it. Yeah. Just, you don't have to be a fanboy to enjoy
it. That's right. Although I have to say, I may have crossed over into fanboy status with the release of Leopard.
Mm. Well, let's start getting into that then. Let's talk about some of the stuff. So let's talk about the adventure of buying it.
So I kind of at the last minute decided to go pick up Leopard on release day, and you know, so I was at work. I worked a little bit over, went home, ended up actually getting to the Apple Store at 6:05,
and it went on sale at 6.
At 6. And I don't really know how that worked out. It wasn't planned. But got a free t-shirt.
Nice.
Which was cool. And the place was packed. It was actually hard to check out because they have that weird checkout system where it's just the little things they hold in their hand and they swipe.
Yeah.
And it didn't take that long, but it was busy enough and everybody was in there buying Leopard or more Leopard and iLife or Leopard and an iPhone. It was like Leopard and then something else. I didn't see anybody just buy Leopard. It was kind of crazy. But overall, you know, pretty good experience. In and out in about 6 minutes, I would say, cool. Which is pretty fast.
Did you install it that night?
I did. I installed it that night. So installing it, there's been a lot of hoopla and hooplé on the internet about whether to upgrade or do a clean install or do an archive and install.
Right.
I actually ended up doing a little bit of both. On my work machine, I upgraded and did a upgrade, just a straight upgrade, put in the DVD, followed the standard set of instructions, did customize it a little bit to remove the extra languages and that kind of thing.
But, right.
It just did a straight upgrade over the top of my current install. It's working fabulous. Didn't have any issues. And it took about 2.5 hours to install, which is not bad.
Now, does that count downloading patches or negative?
There were no patches the day I bought it. There is a patch out now that came out Saturday or Sunday.
Mm.
Like a login problem patch. Mm. But
nothing major.
Nothing major, no.
Cool.
So, no patches. So, that was just installing. It apparently adds about 3 gigs to your overall operating system space when you install. So, it's quite a bit bigger. I think part of that is some of the old OS that's left behind when you upgrade, which is why some people like to just do an erase and install. Now, on a Mac, you really don't need to. You can if you're worried about it do an archive and install, and that's what I ended up doing on my wife's machine. What that does is it archives your old system folder, so all your preferences and everything are there if you want them. And then I actually checked the box for save the user and network settings. Basically, it gives you a clean wipe on all your standard preferences except for critical things like your user files are kept and your network settings. But basic basic software settings are gone.
Nice.
The other option is to do a clean install or erase and install, where it actually formats the drive and installs. That's not really needed on a Mac, but if you wanted to do it, you could.
So you just did an upgrade on yours, mm-hmm. and on your wife's you did the archive and install.
And actually, so I'm glad you asked that. There's actually, the reason I did that is because I did do a standard install, an upgrade, mm-hmm. and it hung as it rebooted back in. So it came up to like the standard blue screen mm-hmm. that you have before the login window comes up, and the login window just never showed up.
Wow.
So I went back and did it again as an archive and install with no issues.
But you had to repeat the
process. But I had to repeat the whole process.
Wow.
And there were actually several people who've had some issues with the upgrade causing a screen like that. And mm-hmm. then some people have actually been getting panics due to a specific piece of software which I hadn't ever used. Some sort of... It actually goes into the operating system and changes some of the appearance settings pretty deep. And so if you have that, whatever it is, you want to remove it before you upgrade. Overall, though, upgrade... pretty painless. I was a little worried with the dead screen, mm-hmm. but as soon as I did the archive and install, it was what I should have done probably on both machines.
Okay. Well, before we get to features, what about let's talk about what, if anything, you were impacted by. Did it break any drivers? Was anything weird on it?
So the only thing so far I've noticed that it broke is corporate VPN that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to go into a lot of details on our VPN service, but it did break our VPN, and it uses the VPN service we have uses a Java app.
Okay.
I think it's something to do with the way the new operating system handles Java apps loading from a browser. Mm. It basically just says it fails to load. The company who produces the app has actually stated that there will be an update sometime Q2 of 2008. So a good 4 to 5 months away.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of disappointing there, but doesn't really impact me that much because half the time I'm VPNing in through my Parallels install of Windows.
Right.
Because I'm checking email and I just use Outlook, and so it's easier that way.
So your camera, printers, everything else?
All that actually seems to work just as well, if not better. Printer, I was able to get rid of all the HP junk that I had to install at first, and so that's all gone now. And I just have a basic printer install for that. Camera, everything seems to work just fine.
Good.
So, very nice.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the setup. I guess let's start getting into features-wise. And you've been on the Mac for a while.
Right.
So, I guess go ahead and take the wheel and just talk about your major highlights. Obviously, we're not going to cover everything, but, you mm-hmm. know, the stuff that you really feel is the home run for Leopard mm-hmm. and why people should be interested in it.
So I want to start out with something that I can't really show you while I'm doing this. I mean, obviously the listeners won't be able to see it either, but the upgraded terminal with the full Unix certification is fantastic because before you had to open up X11 to load any sort of Linux app through your terminal.
Yeah, a graphical application.
Right, because you know, so I can SSH into a Linux server, and if you use the -y option, you can then launch any of the graphical apps directly right there in your terminal, and they will load in the X11 system that Apple lets you install.
Nice.
X11 was an optional install on Tiger. It's now included in Leopard and default install. Which means that terminal, you can just use terminal. You don't have to worry about remembering, okay, I got to go to X11 if I'm going to launch apps, and which is really nice. As a sysadmin, I use that feature all the time in Tiger, and I will use it even more now because I don't even have to think. It's just there, ready to go. That's probably a big feature for me that I'll use on a day-to-day basis. Moving on, the Finder has always been a problem for me on the Mac.
Yeah.
When I switched, you know, I really liked one thing that Windows has always done well is their Explorer. It just works well. It's simple. You know, there's issues with it, but you know, you were able to do a lot of things that Leopard now has added. Things like, you know, the sidebar that's been on Windows since I think XP, maybe even 98 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really got improved in XP, and that kind of happened this release for OS 10. There was a sidebar before, but now it's actually useful where it lists, you know, it lists all the different, you can have like a customized list of places. You can search, you know, right into specific settings like today, yesterday, past week, These are searches just built right into the sidebar. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a recent file, you can just click on those and it does an automatic spotlight search.
Yeah, the whole thing is very reminiscent of iTunes.
It is. The cover flow being built in, it's one of those things when I first heard about it, I kind of laughed to myself and thought, oh, Steve, you're so funny, putting cover flow in everything.
Right.
But I feel like cover flow has finally come into its own with this. It's like, this is what it really was meant to do, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't, because it was actually designed for iTunes originally. But being able to flip through all my different icons, especially images, which was never easy to do in Tiger.
Right.
Because you open up Preview and it opens one image at a time. You can use the drawer, drag more pictures, and it's tedious.
Right.
With this, I can just go into, you know, spacebar, opens up a large version of the image, and it's just cake. I mean, Quick View and Cover Flow together really fix Finder overall for me. So, you know, as you can look at this, it's just you can go full screen with it, and I don't know, add to iPhoto right from Cover Flow. Very nice.
That is nice.
So if you look in your Finder and you go to View, you can do Show Path Bar. And what this does is on the very bottom gives you a full path to your current location, which, you know, Explorer's been doing for years.
Right.
They finally add it. You can actually click through this and it will jump you around to each section that you click on. You have to actually double click.
So they really needed this, because a lot of times to figure out where I was, I had to like back out.
Exactly.
And then find it again.
Yeah. They have the several different views, and the multi-column view, it never gave you enough information on where you were. And now with this nice little path bar at the bottom, it's really helpful.
That's awesome.
Very useful when you're diving down into, you know, folders that are super deep. The other thing is, I'm one who likes a very clean desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And with the new Finder, you don't need that My Computer on the desktop anymore, or whatever they call it in Mac HD. You can actually go into your Finder preferences and uncheck whatever you don't want on your desktop. So, for example, if you wanted to just leave servers you connect to, you could leave that on. Mm-hmm. I turned them all off and just have everything in that new sidebar. And I don't miss, I mean, I love having a clean desktop. Right. So this is perfect for me.
So this is the counterpoint to the Windows customized desktop, where you right. can tell it, turn off My Computer, turn off exactly. Internet Explorer.
Exactly. And makes a nice clean desktop. And the only reason they can do this now is because of this new sidebar. The other thing with the new sidebar that I forgot to mention is it lists any shared directories that are you can actually just see.
Mm-hmm.
Lists them under shared. And one of the funny things that actually you told me about, Ryan, is that Windows shares, the little icon shows up as actually a little old junky looking CRT with a blue screen of death message on it, which is a nice little Easter egg in there for Mac users.
But I noticed the Mac, it looks very nice.
Oh yeah, the Mac is like a cinema display, widescreen with the nice
background.
Yeah. So having that shared listing, one of the failures on the Mac before in Tiger and older was, you know, file sharing was always kind of, it was not easy. It was definitely, you know, for the average user, it would be almost impossible. Now you just turn on sharing and it shows up in this shared tab on your sidebar, and there it is, ready to go.
Right. Again, kind of like the iTunes where you just tell it.
It does.
I'm shared, so people can find me.
It feels like they took what they do right in iTunes and just spread it out all over the OS.
Yeah, it's really smart.
Which is nice. And all this whole sidebar is customizable. So if you don't like some of those things, you can take them out or add to them. Add your own listings. So very, very nice. I've been using it now, you know, since Friday evening, and it's already made things just that much easier. Using it at work today was fantastic. I loved it.
That's cool.
The new dock... you know, everybody kind of knows about the new dock if you know anything about Mac, but some people hate the new kind of shelf look that it has. If you move the dock to the side of your screen, it goes away and becomes just kind of a gray background, very mm-hmm. reminiscent of the old dock. However, the new fan and grid feature of having folders on your dock, great. Love it.
It's good.
Quick access. Basically, if you don't know what this does, if you have a folder on your dock and you click it, it expands that folder. And depending on how many items there are, it'll either do like a nice little arc they call fan, or it will do a grid that lets you view all the items in that folder. If you click on that, it will open so you can directly access it. The only thing that I was shocked that didn't happen, you know, I can mouse through this whole thing or arrow through it on my keyboard. I can't do quick look. I tried a space bar to open. Not sure why they didn't include that. It shouldn't have been that hard to do.
It's probably coming if I would have to
go. I would imagine it'll come with an update because it would just make things that much easier. And then also in that listing, they have a show and finder. So that lets you go directly to Finder where that folder is.
Nice.
Nice little addition. So yeah, dock overall. Spaces is pretty nice. I'm still getting used to this. I've never really used the multi-desktop type settings on like Linux or any of the other OSs that have had it now. I mean, even Windows has a power toy that lets you do it for free. But the ability to, you know, just kind of flip between different screens is nice, which is basically what all the other ones do. But you can also go into a zoomed out mode. And you've probably seen this if you've been looking at Leopard. But if you go, you can see all four or actually up to 16 screens at once. And then you can drag windows back and forth. Now, how this directly affects me is I'm almost always running Parallels along with OS X. What that lets me do is run Parallels running XP in a full screen in one of those menu, in one of those spaces, they call it.
Yeah.
And then I can just control and arrow directly to that screen, and I have a full screen Windows. Now, you can always do that in Parallels with Alt-Enter, but it was always, it took a second because it did the box spin and it was a little slow. This is so fast that
it really keeps up.
I mean, I'm flipping through like a madman. You can even do diagonal if you hit the keys right. And
I would say this really began being good if you if you're a heavy Linux user or if you're connecting to a lot of Linux stuff.
Right.
And especially if you're a heavy terminal user, because classically, like coming out of Unix or Linux, you would have a workspace with several shell windows open into different things, and you're writing code or you're doing whatever. You go to another workspace and you have another set of things that you're looking at, and it just really, I mean, I can see plenty of applications, you know, for this also.
Well, the other thing that makes it nice is if you're doing any sort of, you know, if you're on a small screen and you're used to dual screens, you know, you can easily feel like you have dual screens almost. Or if you're doing, say, doing some video editing and you open up Photoshop to do a quick title or something, you can easily just separate those without having to, you know, go down, click, pull it up. It just saves you a lot of time.
Yeah. I know a lot of times when I'm in Final Cut and I want to look for files, I really wish I had spaces so that I could open up Finder in another screen and see everything and then come back.
It's nice. It really is nice. So,
that's awesome.
So yeah, and Expose is still there, which is the ability to like go to corners or hit F keys to, you know, separate all your windows and do all that. So those two combined really makes getting around all the windows on a small screen especially very simple and easy to do.
That's cool.
You mentioned Terminal, and I did talk about Terminal a little bit already, but they did also add tabs to Terminal.
Yeah, so that'll
which
even
is nice.
Cut down more mess.
Yeah, so I mean, you can have, you know, tabs just like in Firefox in your Terminal. There have been apps to do this already, but having it built into the OS is
Can you break those
nice.
Out? Can you drag them
I believe
out?
You can. Let's just try it real quick. Let's see. So I'm opening up a Terminal. Command N brings up a new window. Command T is a new tab. Should be able to just drag it, can move it around.
And you can reorder that.
Looks like I cannot break it out.
Well, that's cool.
That's too bad, though.
Yeah, that's just me being super lazy.
Move tab to new window.
Oh, there you go.
So let's see. What was that command? Window. Move tab. Oh, there's no key shortcut for that, though.
Yeah.
Nah.
It's still good enough, though.
I don't know. I won't use it now.
It's broken.
It's broken. It's fired.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Oh, so another question I had was for Bootcamp. So now we are, the Bootcamp beta days are now over.
Right. So if you're on Tiger now, you can no longer update Bootcamp. Your license has expired. They're apparently not going to do anything. You're not going to disable your Bootcamp or anything, but you won't get new drivers anymore. It didn't, you know, I didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. It just knew about my boot camp, brought it with it. I'm wondering on a clean install if you'd have to reset it back up. I think it's fairly simple to just get to that menu again. You just go through boot camp and just don't install.
Wow.
The drivers now for Windows are on the OS disk.
Mm.
So no need to download and burn the driver disks. I'm imagining that'll change when updated drivers come out. But
right.
They did include Apple software updates, so now I think they're going to do the drivers right through that instead of having to burn disks.
Cool.
So that's nice. Boot camp still works. Time Machine is probably one of the most touted features from Apple's side. There's been some changes on this because when they first announced it, they kind of were bragging on how you could use any disk, a network disk, anything. Anything would work. Now they've announced how it's actually a little more narrowed down than that. You can use network disks, but they must be Apple file sharing protocol network disks, which... unless you're running another Mac as your server,
right,
you're not going to have that. You can add it to Linux, but it's not trivial. There's RPMs out there, mm-hmm. and I tried it about a month ago to not much success. So, but Time Machine is nice. You plug in an external drive, USB or FireWire. It sees the drive, says, do you want to use this for Time Machine? And then instantly begins your first full backup and then continues with hourly incrementals, daily incrementals, and then weekly. I don't know if their incrementals are full on the weekly.
Yeah.
And basically what it says is it'll do a weekly backup and keep those until it runs out of space, and then it'll start removing the weeklies.
So what kind of external drive are you using for your stuff?
I have a Mac Store MyBook.
Okay.
Which is the ones that kind of look like a little book. I got it on super good deal at Best Buy. It's 300 gig, I think, maybe 500 gig. But one thing you have to note is that you want one probably at least twice the size of your internal drive.
Mm.
Because it's doing incrementals, you want to make sure it has room to do a full backup and then incrementals as well.
Right.
So that's important.
Gotcha.
But it's very easy to use. This will allow the average Joe to start doing backups and makes it very, very simple.
So what I wish somebody would come out with is kind of the Mac... equivalent to Windows Home Server.
Yeah, I think it's just called OS X.
Yeah, but on maybe a
headless type option.
Yeah. So give me a Mac Mini with like gigantic hard drive squeezed into it somehow, mm-hmm. and then have it be a target for, you know, these backups, which would be really sweet. So.
Yeah, I mean, and you could do that. It just wouldn't be as cheap as a home server because you can. You can get a mini, and then they have the FireWire drives that stack below the mini.
Oh, right.
And those, I mean, those go up to terabyte in size.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And, you know, everything, OS X, there is a OS X server, but you don't need it for this kind of a thing for home use. It's kind of more meant for corporate use. So that's an option. But again, that's, you know, $500 and some for the mini, and then another $300 or $400 for the drive. And honestly, and you don't need multiple drives if you have more than one Mac. Like we have, you know, we're using two laptops at home. We just share one drive and just make sure, you know, we just keep plugging into it at different times and it takes care of it without even having to think about
it. Each have your own space on
that. So what it does, this will be interesting for some people. You don't need a dedicated drive, which is nice. And then what it does is it creates a folder, backup dot something folder, and then inside that it creates a folder based on your computer name, and that's where it dumps all the backup files directly into that.
Cool.
One of the downfalls, I guess, would be is that it's not files you can just dive into. If, say, you had a failure and you had another machine that didn't have Time Machine on it, you couldn't access those. But you can, I believe, boot to your Leopard disk and access Time Machine from there. I don't know that for sure, though.
Gotcha.
So I may have just made that up.
It sounded good.
It does sound good. Overall, Time Machine is good, other than the no Samba share limitation or NFS. It's a very good app. I'm hoping they'll improve that as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Screen sharing is now built in.
Ooh.
And it uses VNC as its base, which is nice. You know, tested, well-tested, efficient. Apple has always had the ability to support VNC, but it never had a built-in slick way to do it. You always had to download apps to do VNC and that kind of thing. Now, you just check a box and screen sharing is enabled, and it can be done either through iChat or through that sidebar I was telling you about earlier. You can see, you know, your other person, your friend's PC, and it'll show either connect as or do screen sharing. You click screen sharing, log in, and you're sharing screen like a fool.
Gotcha.
It's pretty nice. So I find that to be pretty useful. I haven't had much chance to check out all the other iChat features. I messed with it just for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big iChat user.
Right.
Because most of the people I chat with don't have Macs, so I can't use those features. And Ryan's never on his laptop, so...
There you go. So how much does it retail for?
$129.
Okay, so you've had it for 72 hours.
Correct.
Pretty much. What do you think? High value, worth it?
I would say, for me, all of the features I've discussed are worth the price. You can go to Amazon and get it for about $20 cheaper. There's a student discount, too, which I think is only about $20 as well. I do wish that Apple would lower the price of their... Because it really is an upgrade. I mean, they already got you for the full retail price when you bought your Mac.
Yeah.
They could easily charge $99, which is a much better price point, and I think more people would upgrade. But in general, I would say $129 is well worth it for Time Machine and Unix certification, right? Just those two things alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and the new Finder. Those three.
Maybe they should have added a little more to the price and just bundled iLife 08 and have that be a bundle possibility.
That would be nice. You know, yeah, if they did, you know, like $150 or $160 and iLife was bundled, that'd be a good deal.
Mm.
Because otherwise you have to pay for it separate or buy another Mac.
Right.
But yeah, overall, I'm very happy with it. Parallels still seems to work. I was a little concerned about that. But overall, a worthy upgrade. Definitely, like we talked about last week, it's mostly a developer upgrade in that there's a lot of new core features that we'll be seeing some very nice apps coming out for. Not a whole lot of new eye candy. Don't really care for the transparent menu bar.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather turn that back to translucent, but whatever.
Well, it sounds like they really delivered on the features then.
They did. The features that they added work fantastic and are, in my opinion, like I've already said, well worth the upgrade.
Yeah. And I realize we've talked about Leopard before, mm-hmm. but it's always different between, well, when you're seeing it at Apple Keynote.
Right.
And then you see all these things, you're like, wow, that'll be really cool. And I wonder how it's going to be to actually get your hands on mm-hmm. it, you know. But when you see it and it looks awesome, and then finally you get it and install it and it works as good and right. even maybe delivers beyond what you expect, that's really a home run.
Well, I was getting a little concerned too, because one of the podcasts I listened to is a Mac podcast, and they were talking about how the latest developer release was pretty buggy. And I was a little worried that they wouldn't have that ready to go for the release. I mean, this was just a few weeks ago. But they delivered. The only feature they left out that they advertised at the keynote that I think a lot of our listeners will be upset about is in iChat, they showed the hologram effect, like R2-D2, you know, the little video.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in there.
Okay, now, to go along with that, I saw today on Dig, there are some filters that either people have built or they mm-hmm. found or they downloaded, and I think that is working now.
Oh, really? So it's like an add-on
yeah.
that people have done?
Yeah.
Well, I'll take that.
So
still, I mean, come on. They showed it in the keynote, and they right. didn't deliver it.
Yeah.
Kind of lame.
Maybe it'll be in a patch.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
All right, folks, episode 48 and year number one is complete.
Angry Edmonds forever.
Yeah. Stop by our website, angryedmonds.com, if you want to stream the show straight from there or check out any back episodes. Feel free to drop us a line in the forums if you want. Until next week, my name is Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby. Stay angry.